We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Live from the Rivers Casino Sportsbook, PM team. Mitch Keller I see on the broadcast right now, one of the many TVs down here. The Sportsbook here at the Rivers Casino is awesome. I mean, frankly, I think Andre Barnaby, our guy down here, would be okay with me saying it kicks ass. It's great. Mitch Keller, who was the winner last night, beat Madison Bumgarner. Pirates pulling that off a few years after I would have liked them to do it in a one-game scenario. It's kind of nice to see Mitch Keller looking like a happy human being because he's starting to pitch a little bit better. Not what you would have said about Mitch Keller a couple years ago. Pirates and the Diamondbacks are scoreless, by the way. If you did not catch in the headlines or anything else, we got huge news before I go out to our buddy Steve Palazzolo here. John Fedko, yes, that John Fedko has joined KDKA Radio. He is going to host KDKA Kickoff at 6 o'clock leading up to the KDKA Allegheny Health Network Game of the Week. So News Radio 1020, KDKA, and 100.1 FM, John Fedko. The quote here just simply says John Fedko is synonymous with high school football in Western Pennsylvania. That's true. As somebody that grew up kind of in the heyday of all of that, that is damn true. So this is extremely exciting and something I'm pumped about. It's not even about me and I'm pumped about it. And I'm very selfish in that way. Text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus, on the line right now. Steve, my friend, tell me anything encouraging about the Steelers' offensive line, because with all the things we're talking about, quarterbacks, George Pickens is like the second coming of Jerry Rice, Randy Moss, Megatron, Larry Fitzgerald, Antonio Brown rolled into one. I cannot help but think that the Steelers did not do nearly enough to fix an offensive line that was terrible last year.
My nice things would be, I think they'll be better. I mean, James Daniels is a nice addition. He's still young, you know, despite just signing his second contract and had a good year last year. He's generally improved every single season. I think Mason Cole should be an upgrade at center from what they got as far as production last year. So I think they're better. The problem is going to be from a pass protection standpoint, are you going to actually see that, because you're not going to have Big Ben getting rid of the ball a quarter of a second faster than every other quarterback in the NFL last year, other than Tom Brady. It doesn't sound like a lot, but it's a massive amount of time. So that's why Big Ben wasn't always under pressure last year, was because of the quick release. It's going to be a lot harder, whether it is Trubisky, Rudolph, or Pickett under center. But the nice things are, I think they're better this year on paper than they were last year.
Steve, we had Hub Arkish on yesterday, Chicago Bears. Obviously, he's very familiar with, an insider. And he said something Pony and I had never heard before. Took us both completely by surprise. He said James Daniels' better position is actually center. That of the two he plays, he is a much better center. Have you guys heard anything to that effect about him? Has that been something you've had people whispering to you?
I can't remember the splits, but he's flipped back and forth between center and guard with Cody Whitehair of the Bears a ton throughout their career. And I honestly just forget what the combination was that was better. But Daniels was, he was a center at Iowa, and I think the Bears assumed he was going to be the starting center forever. And then they just kept flipping back and forth, and I can't remember where he was better, but I do know there was a point where there were splits where Daniels probably looked better at one position versus the other, and I can't remember if our data backs up what he was saying there.
So, Steve, I can tell you this much. He told us that Whitehair came in there and moved to center because I guess Daniels was struggling with some of the calls and getting the sort of protections down. He said Whitehair became a Pro Bowler, and then Daniels obviously blossomed into that. But, The thing that was weird is he didn't seem to close the book. He didn't seem to say that should shut the book on Daniels being a center, that he still had plenty of ability to play the position, just didn't have maybe the time he needed to get better at it.
Yeah, I could see that, him still, you know, having a future at center. The thing that was weird about their switch is it happened in, like, week 9 one season. They just straight switched positions, Whitehair and Daniels, and it worked out that particular year, a few years back. Yeah, I could still see Daniels, you know, having a future at center. There's a lot, I mean, that's what the Steelers have, is a whole bunch of center-guard hybrids, or at least guys that are capable of playing both positions, so... Going to see what sticks. I could absolutely see Daniels also having a future at center if that's where the Steelers choose to go.
Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus, joining us here on the PM team. Steve, Mitch Trubisky is going to start in this preseason game. Whenever you guys are watching players, whenever there's somebody who's maybe scuffled in one place, he's in a new spot or whatever, how much stock does PFF put into? I know you guys grade the preseason games, but realistically, how much evaluating stock do you put into what happens in these matchups?
You really can't. I mean, I saw Trubisky last year when he was playing for the Bills, and he had his revenge game against the Bears in the preseason. They gave him an extended look, and he looked really good. Like, there were times in the preseason where it was like, okay, that's an accurate Mitchell Trubisky. That's a different guy than we saw from Chicago. But it's honestly like taking any 20-throw sample from the season, of which there's, you know, 50, you know, or 40, or, you know, 30 of them, right? There's 30, 20 throw samples literally during the season for a quarterback. Taking any of those 20 and saying, this is what I think about the guy. That's what the preseason is. So it's tough to have these, like, real firm conclusions. I mean, Zach Wilson of the Jets looked incredible during the preseason last year. Comfortable, accurate, quick decision-making, and he looked nothing like that during the regular season. But preseason looked great. So I don't know. The guy like Trubisky, do you want him to look confident and accurate and just look better? Yeah, like you want that, but I don't know how much that actually projects to the regular season.
I think I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway based on what you just said about, you know, preseason projection. Is there any way Mason Rudolph, you know, can go out, look like the best guy on the field, and realistically improve his trade value in the preseason?
I mean, trade value is going to be tough because nobody's really looking for a starter, so trade value is always going to be, you know, a late-round pick, whatever it might be, so... I think Rudolph could go out there, look really good, and improve his trade value, but you're talking the difference between, what, like a fifth and a sixth rounder. I don't think any team around the league is saying, hey, we're desperate for a starter. Mason Rudolph is going to be the team guy. Let's go get him.
The team they're playing this Saturday, Steve, might be the only team in the league that if Rudolph balled out, they would look at him and say, maybe that guy's better than what we have on the roster. I'm being serious. Seattle is depressing, man.
Yeah. They're the one team that would, but there's still two guys that they're looking at, and they seem to like Geno Smith. I don't know. They say they like both guys, and Geno Smith is, you know, the guy that's the starter. You are right. There's always that chance. So maybe that is something for Steelers fans to root for. And the NFL is so funny because they do a lot from a player evaluation standpoint, a lot of studying, and you know, but there's a lot of like, oh, we saw this guy in person, and he looked good in that one game, and they tend to, you know, overreact to that. So maybe there could be something to that with Rudolph and the Seahawks.
Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus. Steve, one of the things I love, we love to kind of rib you about and go back and forth, and you know we love you, is that you get our fans very fired up here. And so since Pony is off, there's actually not the resources on the show today for one person to tweet one of your responses out while the other person's asking a question and perhaps you're answering it. But
too bad.
You are going to be very happy to know that people clearly do love you and that you just hear from the negative ones sometimes, because when the topic of the Steelers executing a blockbuster deal for Roquan Smith suddenly disgruntled in Chicago came up, one of the first things people said to us was, I don't care how good he is, guys, with all-pro second team nods, PFF had him at a 47.8 last year in 2021. What gives with that grade? People were giving you guys credence saying, stay away.
Yeah, I mean, what else do you cite? There's, you know, player evaluation comes up. You got to use the PFF grade. Roquan, that's good. I appreciate that some people are referencing us. That's good. Roquan is an interesting case. I do think he still has a ton of potential to be a very good player. He is athletic, flies around the field. There's just some ugly plays on film, and that happens at linebacker quite a bit with certain players, where a lot of times you only remember the good plays and not the bad ones. And we've talked about that a lot with Steelers linebackers over the last couple of years. So Roquan Smith has a lot of potential. He's shown flashes of it, but it's a consistency issue for him. and that's what we measure.
How much, like, is he a guy then, it sounds like to me, that he wants a new deal and he wants a big money deal? It sounds to me like in your guys' metrics and evaluation of him, that is not something he warrants, correct?
I wouldn't do it. If he was really good this year, I wouldn't be all that surprised. It's not that all of our grades are, you know, directly predictive of what's going to happen. I think scheme, he's been put, scheme-wise, I think challenged a lot in Chicago. There's been a lot put on his plate. Again, I've always referenced that with Steelers linebackers. And we play, in a system like Roquan Smith. But again, you just haven't seen, say, the same type of consistency of a Fred Warner or Bobby Wagner from a few years back. So that's what makes a Darius Leonard, now Shaquille Leonard. It's just really tough when you haven't seen that level of production. I think Roquan is, he's not exactly Devin Bush. I think he's had a better career than Devin Bush, better career than Miles Jack. But there's probably some similarities in that there's all, it's really Devin White with the Bucs doesn't grade all that well for us either. But he's got splash plays and the potential. I think there's a group of those types of linebackers who I think they're capable. But again, you got to find a way to do it for 1,000 snaps a year. And we're just not seeing that yet.
How many good guys at that position, like in your grading, really are there? You mentioned Warner as like kind of a mainstay. It just seems like whenever I'm looking over the grades at that position, there aren't many that stand out. That it's a, you know, you mentioned Devin White. That's something I've brought up to people here, Steve. He has the splashy plays and had the big Super Bowl, but that guy's grading has been worse than Devin Bush's at times for how much people here are mad about Devin Bush. Is that a hard position to have a great grade at, or is it just a position that is inherently very difficult in the NFL because of how good offenses are?
Yeah, so here's what's happened. I think the grading has gone down. The grades for linebackers have gone down pretty significantly over the last few years because of the way the NFL has attacked them. So you almost have to look at it on a curve. But the way the NFL just attacked the linebacker position, I think I've mentioned this on here a ton, but you know, a linebacker, especially in the AFC North, has to take on, you know, 350-pound guards pulling at the second level. They have to play zone coverage where every pass concept is essentially trying to make linebackers wrong. They're trying to put two receivers, flood the zone, make them play, you know, back to front, not take the bait on play action. And then every now and again, you have to try to tackle Lamar Jackson in the open field or an elusive running back or play man against the running back out of the backfield or a tight end. I mean, the linebacker's job is maybe as hard as it gets as far as different types of skills that he needs. So I think that's part of the reason why we see linebackers from a grading standpoint, it's more difficult because the job is difficult, but also everything NFL offenses are trying to dream up is trying to make linebackers wrong in today's NFL, from run-pass option plays to all the different various play action, more play action than we've ever seen in the NFL. So linebackers are just really getting attacked across the NFL.
Pro Football Focus is Steve Palazzolo joining us here on the PM team. You know that voice. You know that guy. You probably love his takes if you're a sensible football fan. If you don't, that's your problem. You guys on the George Pickens hype train with literally everybody else in Pittsburgh? I'm not kidding here, and I'm probably leading this band, Steve. I think the guy has a very good chance to not just be a star, but like a superstar. I mean, there has not been a single negative word uttered about him by anybody throughout camp, and he's just dominating this team's defensive backs.
Yeah, we were on the hype train around draft time. I mean, before the Steelers drafted him, and the Steelers have a really good track record of finding wide receivers, so that helped. But yeah, Pickens, I think, he reminded me a lot of Brandon Lloyd when watching him play. Remember Brandon Lloyd? Not all Brandon Lloyd's game, but part of Brandon Lloyd's game that was just all the spectacular catches and the body control. And you know, look up Brandon Lloyd highlights on YouTube, and it's like, yeah, I could see George Pickens having this type of highlight reel, the way he just the way he attacks the ball in the air and everything that he does. So Pickens was probably going to be a first round pick if he wasn't hurt. You know, that was his trajectory from five-star prospect to productive college player, just had the injuries. That's what slowed him down. So I think, you know, we definitely had him as a first-round wide receiver on our draft board. Had him as a guy that was probably a top four receiver in this draft class. He could be even better than that. So, yeah, I'm all aboard the hype train for George Pickens.
Steve, as always, it was a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you, sir.
Yes, of course. Thanks for having me.
Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus. So how about that? Roquan Smith, like, you know, kind of a middling at best upgrade over Devin Bush in theory. PFF's just not a huge fan in terms of the way they grade it. The more I think about inside linebacker, this might seem like a crazy sort of take, but it sounds like unless you've got somebody like a Fred Warner who is just truly elite at that position, or when Kuechly was still playing, it almost seems like the position has been made so difficult. You just heard Steve say it. Everything offenses do now is geared towards trying to fool those guys and make them look bad. It seems like a position that is so exacting on the people who play it that it's almost not worth trying to allocate a ton of resources. Just try to get somebody that's decent. Maybe if you find somebody that's great, fine, pay them. But try to bulk up around them and just sort of fill in the blanks and gaps. That's eye-opening stuff. I knew they had a low grade on Roquan Smith, but to hear him break down the actual nature of the position and what teams try to do against it now kind of has me thinking about things a little bit differently. Coming up next, this Antonio Brown tweet has got to have the most layers of absurdity of anything that's happened in a good while on Twitter. I'm going to try, with Kale's help, to make sense of it, because if you didn't know, Kale is a social media star, so he is supposed to be able to suss these things out when they happen and try to explain them to us. But first, we've got a fan headline with the aforementioned Kale Berger.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.